You have your Bibles this morning, the book of Psalms, chapter number 80. This weekend has marked the 20th anniversary of the 911 attacks, where 2,996 people died. Compare that to December the 7th, 1941, when the Imperial Japanese Army unprovoked attacked Pearl Harbor and 2,403 people were killed. 4 days later, Germany and Italy declared war on the United States of America. So there were more people died in the 911 attacks than Pearl Harbor, which sent us off into World War number two. We have forgotten the dangers. We have forgotten the Lord. We have forgotten the 911 attacks, and we have really forgotten how we arrived in that position. I stand this morning to confess with a troubled heart today that America has definitely forgotten God by large and in part. It's just like we are reveling in our excesses. We are reeling in our drunkenness, and we are revolting in morals and in sins as a nation. And this morning, America is in an unprecedented crisis. Pandemic, wars, threats of wars, running like a scared little kitty cat with our tail tucked between our legs. God has blessed America with a glorious heritage. And Israel, God's chosen people, began with a glorious heritage as well. And just for a few minutes, I want to compare the blessings of God on Israel and have us to think about the blessings of God on America. And I want to preach on this thought. It's time that we were calling America back to God. Amen. I'm going to ask if you would stand to your feet this morning. Psalm 80, we'll read 3 verses and we'll pray. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Look at verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Father, would you help us this morning as we try to preach the word? Fill us, endue us with power from on high. Help us, God, as a people to hear, to heed, and to apply. And for this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Israel's glorious heritage, she was the wonder of the world in her day. She was so glorious that other nations around her were just completely astounded at how much God had blessed her and all that he had done for her. And then Israel forgot God. And when they did, judgment came. And there was a time of national calamity. When I read to you out of Psalm 80 this morning, the psalmist is writing in a time of national calamity. And he says in verse 3, turn us again. That means, God, back like we once were when we were serving you and when we were walking with you. It means to restore us, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Look at verse number 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Number 1, Israel was divinely planted. This vine that the psalmist is speaking of is the nation of Israel, also known as God's vine. And God himself planted Israel in the land of Canaan, the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And I believe this morning that America herself has also likewise been divinely planted. The United States was founded because our forefathers were looking for a place where they could express and worship in their Christian faith. And in 1620, the Pilgrims set sail on the Mayflower 65 days to come to America, to a place where they would have freedoms to serve the one true and living God. Because back in England, they faced fierce opposition from the government, from the king, who had edicted he would no longer give them the freedom to worship and preach the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. He wanted to dictate what the preacher could and could not say. He wanted to dictate what he thought was a hate crime or what was not. And he did not want the preacher to inform of the sins of the government and the sins of the nation. I'm telling you, we are fastly approaching that same place this morning. Our forefathers got on the Mayflower, they sailed across the sea, and they came to America. In fact, before they got off the boat, they organized the Mayflower Compact with these words, and I quote, first words, "In the name of God, comma, amen. Thus, the beginning of our nation was in the name of God, amen." And in that Mayflower Compact, they went on to write, "This is for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith." Back in England, in the 1700s, King George continued his tyranny from across the sea, ruling and regimenting the colonial colonies. And he attempted to deny the freedoms that our forefathers came over here to seek out. So here we are across the sea, and the king is still telling us what we can or cannot preach. George Washington, born in 1732, a young man that was a surveyor, a planter, a soldier, and a statesman, he was a Christian. His daddy died when he was 11 years old. His mother wrote to him when he was a soldier. This is what she said. She said, "Son, God is our only sure trust." Washington would go on to fight during the French and the Indian War. And he said, "God protected me. His coat had 4 bullet holes. 2 of his horses were shot and killed right from underneath him." In 1774, when he was asked, "What should we do about what King George was trying to edict?" he said, "I'm going to the church and I'm going to pray all day." And he fasted and he prayed all day about what we should do. In 1775, George Washington was made the leader of the Continental Army. They called him the Commander-in-Chief, leading our nation towards the freedom that we have today. He got on his knees down in the snow as they were ready to fight at the Valley of Valley Forge. And today, many of your history books want to get rid of that picture. They don't want to talk about us being founded upon Christian faith, upon the Word of God and the principles and the edicts of the Word of God. He said this on July the 2nd, 1776, "The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage of this army." And 2 days later, the Declaration of Independence was signed. It's a declaration of independence from earthly powers, but it's a declaration of dependence upon the Lord our God. And they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator. Capital C. They believed in an infallible, almighty God that's in heaven. They believed in creation. Why today, you can't even teach creation in our public school. You could teach evolution and have no problem with that whatsoever. Do you see how change has come about? 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. And I said, a dependence upon God. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. John Hancock, he was the first to sign. Many of those men were preachers, seminary degrees. They were lawyers, farmers, men of education and means. Before America went on to win the war, five of those men who signed the Declaration were captured. 12 of them had their homes burnt to the ground. Has your home been burnt to the ground because you stood for Jesus Christ? Because you stood for the principles of this nation? Oh, no, it's not. But these men risked life and limb. Many of them lost their sons in the war. None of them died in the war. They lost their livelihoods. They lost their properties. They lost their families. But God gave them victory, and God granted to us independence. There are scoffers this morning that will bring up the fact, well, Preacher Darren, I've heard it this week. Preacher Darren, I'm going somewhere. Preacher Darren, the United States Constitution doesn't even mention God. It doesn't mention Jesus. What about that? Well, let me tell you something, big boy, if you're listening to me. I went on to study the Constitution of all 50 of the United States. And all 50 of them, every single one, individual constitutions, mentions God. Massachusetts, 12 times. North Carolina, 10 times. Vermont, 9 times. Maryland, 8 times. So just because it's not in the U.S. Constitution, every state's constitution that was ratified acknowledged the God of all glory. And some of those states still in the book to this day, if you are a politician and you don't recognize God, they can remove you from office if they would stand on the Constitution. Fact check that. We have revisionists today who they want to extract all the belief from God in our American way of life. Thank God for Francis Scott Key, who wrote the Star Spangled Banner. In 1814, it became our national anthem many years later. Listen what it says in the fourth stanza. Then conquer we must, when cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, Israel was divinely planted, and honey, according to the history of this nation, God Almighty divinely planted us as a people with the freedoms and the liberty that we have to serve Jesus Christ. It is okay to say amen. It is okay to wave your hand. It is okay to preach Jesus saves. Amen. Amen. There may come a day when this message is outlawed, when it's kicked off of Facebook. But I'm telling you, as long as I'm standing and as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God created us, and we have a great nation that's still worth standing and fighting for this morning. Number two, I believe our nation is divinely protected. Verse number 9, thou preparest room before it, and it's caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. God took Israel, and he put them, divinely planted them, in the promised land, and that land was filled with heathens. And God went before them and drove out all their enemies. And God himself gave Israel the land. And so has it been with America. Oh, how God has blessed America. And yet we get to the Civil War, which threatened our very existence. But God protected us and reunified us from a war-torn world, you think about how England has suffered from war, or Germany, or Italy, or Japan, or China, or Vietnam, or Russia even. But America, other than civil war, we have been divinely protected of Almighty God. And how dare us say, God, we don't need your help anymore. God, we got this. Remove you from our schools. Remove you from our courthouse walls. We're doing just fine. And God Almighty took his hand off of us for just a few minutes. And two airplanes, jetliners, come crashing, being hijacked into the Twin Towers and killed almost 3,000 people. And we sit back and act like nothing ever happened. Bless God, there are men and women that went to war for even less. And we need to understand God has divinely protected us. And God, amen, God will take care of us if we'll serve him. I'm fired up this morning. In the book of, listen, not in the book, Abraham Lincoln wrote this. On March 30th, 1863, he proclaimed a day of national fasting and a day of national prayer. And he said, we have forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or some virtue of our own. We are intoxicated with unbroken success. We have become all too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. We are too proud to pray to the God that made us. That was in 1863. Where are we in 2021? We are way too proud. I mean, everybody says, let's go get vaccinated. Let's wear a mask. Lord God, somebody ought to be standing up saying, we need to seek God's face and ask God to remove us. Remove this virus and heal our land. But nobody's worried about preaching that because we believe science will save us. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I wear masks. I'm vaccinated myself, so don't you criticize me. But honey, I'm going to tell you that the king does not have the right to mandate and mandate and mandate. I'm telling you this morning, God gave us freedom. God gave us liberty. And I believe with all my heart that God Almighty really expects somebody to stand up and speak it and preach it and say, we need to pray. We need to get back to praying ground again. Well, Preacher Darren, you're going to make me mad. Then go home. I'm just now halfway done. Number three, Israel, like America, was divinely prospered. Look at this. Now this vine that God planted, it has filled the land. God is prospering it. Verse 9, look at verse 10. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. And the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. You see, men of God, the prophets, they stood before Israel and said, honest work, right of ownership, right of personal property, preaching the truths and the word of God, and God blessed them. And they prospered immensely. As America adhered to the principles of God's word, America has prospered as a nation. Well, Preacher Darren, have you not seen the streets? We still have poverty. But in America, where someone is poverty stricken, they're still rich compared to many people in this world. You see, God has blessed this land from sea to shining sea. God has blessed us. Make no mistake how he has prospered us. But there's a grave danger. Look in verse number 11. She sent out her boughs under the sea, her branches under the river. Verse 12. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges? What? God allowed her hedges to be broken down so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her. Here's a vineyard, divinely planted, protected, and prospered by Almighty God, and suddenly God removes the hedge. Why'd that happen? Because Israel got off in sin. They forgot about God. They started serving other gods. They started becoming materialistic. They started becoming self-sufficient. Instead of thanking God and serving God, seeking God's face, they turned their back on God. And so for this, God withdrew the hedges of protection from around them. Now anybody that comes by can pluck her fruit. You see, America is being plucked by her enemies externally. We are little by little becoming a laughing stock in the world. Yes, I said it. I said, little by little, we're becoming a laughing stock. Ridicule all across the world today. And look at verse 13. Not only an external danger, but look at the internal danger. The boar, you know what a boar is? It's a wild hog. The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Now I come from a farming family. My granddaddy, oftentimes I would go and take up the old scraps that we had, and I'd slop the hogs. You ever slop the hogs? Man, the stench and the filth of what they'd eat. And every now and then, the old hog would get out of the pen. And you know what it'd do? It'd take the rooting. And it'd root up everything around it. Lord, have mercy. If it got in the garden, it'd destroy everything we had in the garden, that wild hog. And I'm telling you, God has allowed removing the hedges, you know, or protection. There's a bunch of wild hogs running loose through our nation, rooting up everything that's good. Amen. Trying to ruin everything around it. God said it would happen when he takes away the hedge. The boars, the wild hogs out of the woods will waste it. You see, a hog is not just merely content eating some fruit off the vine. It wants to devour the vine. It's where we are this morning. By the way, there's a bunch of wild hogs back up in the woods, and nobody could catch them. And somebody said, I'll catch them. And they took and put out some feed for them, some slop. And all them hogs came a-running, and they dug post holes all around where them hogs was. And then them hogs seen them. After they filled their bellies full, they took off. But the farmers come back and put down fence posts where they dug them holes. Then they come back again, fed them hogs again. Them hogs come out of the woods again. They started putting some of the fencing together. They did that two or three times over the course of a week. They've got the whole fence up except for the gate. And now the next week, they put that food back out again, and them hogs come running right in that gate, and they framed up the gate behind it. And now them wild hogs ain't wild no more. You know what? You give out free money, you give out free food, they'll do anything you want them to do. And that's exactly where we are today. Don't you get mad at me. I'm just preaching to you the truth from the woods and the truth from the Word of God. Now, Israel became materialistic, willing to serve other gods. And don't you know this morning that America is provoking God by our lust of the flesh? We are sticking our finger, our little bitty finger, in the eye of Almighty God rather than thanking God for his blessings. I mean, honest. Here you are today, and you're sitting here saying, boy, if such and such had just happened, if I just need this to happen, it'd be such a blessing. If I could just get this, man, and then you get the pooch lip because such and such didn't happen in your life. You've forgotten. God's given you good health. God's given you a car to drive. God's given you a family. God's given you a roof over your head. God's given you salvation. God's given you clothes to wear. And you run around here with a pooch lip. God's been good to us. And we're not thanking him in our churches like we should.
We're not thanking him in our homes like we should. We need to get back up in the woods and get to praying and seeking God and thanking him. God's been good. He saved my boy. He saved my girl. He saved my wife. He saved our family. And I bless his good name. He forgave me of my sins. God's been good. Just yesterday, Brother Jason, God saved three precious souls at a funeral, and the devil designed to try to tear it up, and God blessed anyway. God's been good. We need to get back to thanking him. You see, we are suffering from an erosion of spiritual virtues and spiritual values, sexual permissiveness, perversion, the disposal of the unborn and the unwanted, the breakup of the family, lust of the flesh has consumed us. The wild hogs is trying to root out the vine. What about the lure of the world? Not only do we break God's laws by provoking him, but we're breaking God's heart by forgetting him. What about the lies of the devil? We forget about the one true God who founded us as a nation. And now we're out worshiping false gods, and we just say, well, you just worship whoever you want to. Right? And we say, well, we call it tolerance. We call it tolerance. Honey, I do serve who I want to, and I choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have not forgotten. We will remember. We will remember the works of our Lord. I've not forgotten how he saved me. I've not forgotten how he blessed me. We've got more opportunities and more blessings. We've got more preaching, more gospels going out than any other nation. Do you agree? Yet, we also have more policemen per capita than any other nation in the world. And we have more crime than any other nation in the world. How can a land that's been so blessed by God be so filled with crime and immorality and disregard for the things of God in our nation? There's a tidal wave of crookedness, of lying, of deception, of cheating, of stealing, of murder, lust, dope, and vice. There's an epidemic. Listen, Preacher Darren, we're in a pandemic. It's all I cut on the TV. Can you tell I've watched the news? I told you, I don't do good when I watch the news. It fires me up. We have a pandemic going on of COVID. Everybody's concerned and people are dying. It's real. Yet, we have an epidemic of murder on the streets of this nation. And we turn our face away from that and concentrate on other things. Somebody better go get Jesus. Somebody better get to calling on God. Look with me, verse number 16. See if this identifies where we are this morning. The vine, it is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at rebuke of thy countenance. You see what's happening? God said, I've removed the hedge. So look at your streets in your cities. Looting and rioting. And then they'll get on there and say, this was a peaceful event. You expect me to believe that? I can't believe anything comes out of your mouth. Well, I guess you're right. It is a peaceful demonstration compared to what's going on in hell. God said, your streets will be burned with fire. Your nation, your people will be cut down. Hear me this morning. Not only is God our only hope, he is our biggest threat. You forget God. He removes the hedge. And that's the most dangerous thing that'll ever happen to this country. And it's exactly where we are this morning. Let's go back to verse 4. I want to talk about the despair of our nation. The writer says, O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? What? I scratch my head at that. Angry at the prayer of thy people. See, here's the problem. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And we come up here and say, oh God, would you help my sick family? Oh God, would you, at the same time, go off and live any old way you want to, never come to church, never serve God, never open his word until you get in trouble. And I'm telling you something, and God says that that makes him angry. Your prayers, will you hear me? If you don't mean it, if you don't have the intent of your heart fixed on God, your prayers are not going as high as the ceiling. Your prayers are not going as high as the mouth and the lips that just professed it. Your prayers are not being heard, and they're only going to make God angry. The prayers of an unrepentant people make God angry. Don't stand up here and lead a nation and tell and live a sinful way and endorse ever sinful activity and turn around and say, I'm praying. That's an abomination and an offense to Almighty God. And I don't care who you are or what your political position is. That's an offense to God. And you're making him angry to pretend to be religious when you're not. And you think God's just going to bless you anyway. My Bible still says, I read it this morning. I read it, my Bible still says, Proverbs 14:34, that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is an abomination to any people. My Bible still says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. We are abandoning moral principles. And our pulpits, we've grown silent. You will probably go home and dissect the sermon. And when you do, I want you to hear me, and you hear me very clearly with what intent I have with this today. We in our pulpits have become prideful. We're more worried about numbers and offerings than we are about the conditions of the soul and the conditions of the family and the conditions of our nation. We have sold out the preaching of the pulpit of the Word of God. Bible reading in public places is against the law. I was on a street preaching on a corner years ago, and I was run in by the law. Absolutely. Or at least sent off to another corner where I went across the way and preached again. And they come got me again. And then one of my young people went bebopping down the road with their windows down and their radio up as loud as it'd go. Boogity, 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 boogity. And they looked at me and they cut the radio down and just didn't even wave. And the police had no problem. Said I was disturbing the peace. And I realize they've got a job to do. But preaching the Word of God, honey, is not disturbing the peace. It may be disturbing your peace. I remember that night when the man of God preached and it disturbed my peace. I needed my peace disturbed. I needed to be saved. I needed to hear the gospel. I needed to hear the truth. And thank God for somebody who would stand up and preach it. Amen. Violent crimes, I studied this, fact check it, have increased 500% in 25 years. STDs amongst students has increased 470%. Teen pregnancies, 400%. Over 50 million abortions have been performed. Listen, I don't want to hear what you got to preach, Darren. Look with me, verse 5. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. God said, you think there's a way that's right. Go ahead and do what you want to do. I'll remove the hedge. And when I do, I'll burn down your cities. You may say, that don't bother me. I don't live in the big city. Honey, it'll bother you when your property catches on fire. It'll bother you when your children move into it. And God said he would feed you the bread of tears. And he would give you tears to drink in great measure. You will not flaunt God and prosper. Israel became a nation that was baptized in tears. We see it in history. And America whether you want to hear it or not, is slowly being baptized in tears because of our own waywardness. Proverbs 29. Let's read verse 1, but I'm really after verse 2. I'm almost done. I know you're probably ready to go. But I'm telling you, I'm just trying to motivate you to live for God and thank Him for His blessings. Live for Him. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. If that's not underlined in your Bible, it needs to be the next time you go vote. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Sorrow, bread of tears, drinking tears. Man, I'm telling you, there is much to weep about in our nation. Go back to our text. God will allow us to be shamed before our very enemies. We are a reproach to any people. Maybe I ought to stay back there in Proverbs. Let's go back. Maybe I didn't read enough. Let's just go back. Look with me. Look at verse number 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. There are people that will tell you how good you are and how they want you and how they, I'm telling you, they're doing nothing but setting a trap for you. And all the time leading you to string you up and to bring you shame and to cause you to be scorned and to cause you to be made fun of before all people. I'm telling you, it is a very slippery slope on which you and I now stand. And look at verse 6. Psalm 80, verse 6. I'm almost done. Psalm 80, verse 6. Look what God said, speaking of shame. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. I'm thinking of a nation right now that they're laughing at us. Preacher Darren, what are we going to do? Number 4, and I'm done. I don't want to tear it down without giving you a remedy. I believe that vine that was divinely planted and divinely protected and divinely prospered until God took away the vine or took away the hedge around the vine, and now it's destroyed and it's rooted up and it's burnt down. I believe that that nation can be divinely pardoned. Israel is still God's people. God's made her promises, and God knows those folks are going to come around. And God has blessed America so much. And I really believe with all my heart, God has a remnant. And He's looking to bless them in a mighty and a marvelous and a spectacular way. I mean, I'm looking to a people this morning, when I look at you and I understand some troubles and difficulties and hardships that's going on in your lives, and yet here you are anyway, still serving God, still believing that He's the cause, still believing that He's the reason, still believing that He's able to change where you are this morning. And listen, our governor owes you a letter to thank you for sticking with God through all we've been through. Though he probably won't write it, he ought to. Now, look at verse 14. I'll be done. Divinely pardoned. The psalmist says, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. Oh God, look down from heaven. See the state and the condition of our great nation. The one you planted. The one you've protected. The one you have prospered as we've turned our backs on you, God. Forgive us, Lord, where we've sinned against you. Restore us, God. do a great work. Visit this vine, the psalmist says. Hallelujah to God. I looked at the preamble of the Constitution. You know what it says? It's still there this morning. I got up at 6 a.m. I looked it up. It says, we, the people. Now, I'm not talking about the Barney Fife version. I promise, when I Googled it, Barney Fife's version of we, the people, came up this morning. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. We, the people, still there. If we are to have freedom, and if we're to have a future, we need to repent and turn to the Lord our God. We, the people. My Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a one nation gone under. Verse 17, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Who is that? Who's he talking about? J, write this down, E-S-U-S. Jesus is his name. Let your hand be upon Jesus, the man, the son of man, whom you've made strong for yourself. You know what you need to get back to? Looking to Jesus. Not the president, not Supreme Court, not the governor, but you need to get back to looking to Jesus. He's the King of Kings. We don't need King George. We need Jesus. Verse 18, so will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. In other words, Lord, we need you to revive us. Quicken means to make us alive again. Lord, help us to recognize the freedoms and the liberties that you've given us, and they can't take them away unless we let them. Amen. Somebody needs to stand up. Somebody needs to get on their knees. Somebody needs to call the name of Jesus, and he's going to turn this thing around. Verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We need to return to the old-fashioned word of God, old-fashioned worship. We need a return to seeking God's face. And just in case you thought verse 19 was familiar, it's similar to verse 3, and it is also similar to verse 7. There's at least three divisions in this chapter from which God gave me the points. I'm just saying this. America is in trouble. The nation I love is in trouble. And I got youngins who may one day have grand youngins. And I guarantee you, my grandfather and my great-grandfather in their churches and up in their prayer altars up by the rocks and the reels, I guarantee you they saw and their preacher preached that there's a day coming when America will have the hedges removed. And they feared this day. And they've been praying and seeking God's face, begging God that it wouldn't happen to their children and their grandchildren. And here we are. And it's happening. And it burdens my soul. God, help us if we can't get back on our knees and get back to praying for our freedoms and our liberties and go back to thanking God for what he's done for us. Man, we've got to get back there, church. I know you didn't come in here for this today, but I'm just telling you, I saw what happened on 9-1-1. Some of y'all weren't old enough. You don't remember it. but I saw it and I watched in amazement. And we opened our church, churches all across this nation. They were filled to max capacity for weeks after that. We've forgotten. Let's just give them Black Hawk helicopters, machine guns, and bullets to come do it again. Preacher, don't you get political on me. Honey, I'm just telling you what we've done. I'm not being political. It's just had millions of dollars to go along with it. The wild hogs are wanting to root up the vine inside our nation. And outside our nation, our fruit is being plucked. Your very dollars that you pay in taxes are just being given away to a people that hate your guts. And it's not okay. It burdens my soul. I'm not trying to run for office. I'm not a political person. I'm a preacher. But during the Revolutionary War, preachers would take the pulpit and preach the word of God and what needed to happen. And the next day they'd go out and train them how to shoot a musket. It's time to get on our knees and go to battle. Amen. It's time to stand up for God and right, not being mean to people. Listen, I'm not here to criticize the president or the Supreme Court. I'm not here to criticize the preacher. Honey, I'm here to tell you the infallible, inerrant word of God, the truth this morning. Amen. And we need to return to Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Preacher Darren, it's not me. You see, that's exactly the problem. That is that you... Someone said, you know what's wrong with our nation? I don't want to hear about it and I don't care. That's exactly what's wrong with our nation. We don't want to hear about it and we don't care because we think it don't affect us. But it affects us more, honey, than you think you do. You stand. I've got another page of notes, but I quit. You bow your head this morning. Seth, if you'd come to play this morning on the piano, there might be somebody would join your pastor and say, oh God, we have sinned a great sin. We've erred. We've strayed. Oh, give me some men. Give me some women. Give me some daddies. Give me some mamas that are concerned for their little family. Some mamas concerned for their children. That they'd be raised up in a place of fear and admonition to God. Oh, that we'd cry out to the Lord. I'm telling you, if we don't, youngins, we're gone. We're gone if we don't cry out to God. Father, it is with a broken heart that I bow myself before you and confess to you both I and my father's house we have sinned. You have blessed us so abundantly and we're so unworthy and so undeserving and at the same time, sir, so unthankful. Oh, God, forgive us. Of being so ungrateful. Thank you, Lord, for the hedge. Thank you, God, for the vine. Thank you for the nation of Israel. Thank you, God, for your people. Thank you for America. May she stand forever. But Lord, I know she'll turn her back on Israel. And God, I pray that that day should never come. But God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, God, in our homes and our churches. God, that we continue to pray and seek your face. Let us humble ourselves, God. Let us not forget who you are and let us not forget what you have done for us. God, may we never forget, Lord, who the blessings come from. Lord, help us, God, that our nation would stand strong, brave, and true. And Lord, where unrighteousness exists, throw it to the ground. God, help righteousness to be established. God, right now, truth is laying in the street. God, I pray you'd set it back up. God, I pray this morning, Father, that you'd touch us and give us victory over the wild hogs, the boars, the wild beasts. God, give us victory over powers outside and enemies that would seek to destroy. And help us, God, once again, that we might have power with you, to walk with you, to serve you, and to worship you. God, I pray for our nation. I pray for our president. I pray for our governor. I pray for our leadership. Help us, Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.